We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
It's a holiday. It's a holiday. Welcome to your holiday.
Yes, that is a bad imitation of the great Gerald Celente. When he talks about holidays, they have the bank holidays where they steal all your money, in some cases all your money out of your bank account after taxes. The loving EU to pay it directly to private bankers. But this holiday is Ishtar Day, Easter Day, you know, Playboy Day, the day when the rabbits fornicate. And so you then have them lay eggs to Ishtar. It is the day of spring or regeneration or the day that Christ was risen from the dead. But you notice that every major religious holiday Christians have has been overwritten by the pagans that have been basically overriding the Christian faith for 2,000 years. That's what's been going on. So I thought I would just talk about that gospel mystery a little bit. It is no mystery. Christmas is supposedly the time of the birth of Christ. Now it's about a big drunk guy in a red outfit that comes down your chimney and, well, acts like Freddy Krueger chopping up your family in little pieces. That's what Santa Claus was 200 years ago in England. It was a night of rioting. Christmas was banned. You can actually look that up. I know it's all supposedly about Saint Nick and the guy that handed out, you know, presents to sick children over there in the Dutch areas of the realm. But, you know, my point is, what are fables? What are legends if they're not archetypal images? And so I just thought on this Easter Bunny Day that I would point out that they're overriding everything. I mean, what was liberty this country was founded on? The Bill of Rights, Constitution. Now liberty means TSA putting their hand in the cookie jar to make sure not Al-Qaeda. Now Al-Qaeda's the good guys, but to make sure white Al-Qaeda, the evil white Al-Qaeda, is not hiding under there. So that is just some of what we're going to be breaking down here today. Oh, look at this article up at Infowars.com. I didn't get to this on Friday, but I wish I might cover this piece of news tonight here on this 31st day of March 2013. It's little story here up on the site. I'm trying to find it. I had it printed out in front of me. Fox drama, constitutionalist work for terrorist serial murderers. Well, actually, they are serial terrorist murderers who are very impressed that they're constitutionalists because that's the dirtiest, nastiest thing on earth you can be. It brings a big smile to the chief killer's face. And so everything is now Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL script, brainwashing the poor, hapless public. And I just hope to point out to people that a free society does not have this type of full metal jacketed tyranny being sprayed out by the globalist media. I mean, you could have like messages, you know, back in the 60s about equality and stuff in Planet and shows feminism and Mary Tyler Moore all seems reasonable. But then now you see it sets the precedent today to just absolutely have a war on reality, which the new magazine, InfoWars Magazine, Welcome to Planet Hoax. You can sign up at InfoWars.com/newsletter, InfoWars.com/newsletter, and always about 4 or 5 days, 6 days or so after the physical comes out, we then send the digital out to everyone who subscribes there to the email blast and update alerts and things. We don't send out a lot, a couple things a week. It's always really important videos or information. And once a month, we send it out a few times. People always miss it. The digital copy of InfoWars Magazine with a lot of exclusive material and also the top stories the few weeks before we publish it from InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I'd say it supports us, but we sell it at cost, the subscription and the bulk. You can buy them in bulk. So it's really about supporting your own future and being part of the InfoWar and resisting. So InfoWars Magazine, available at InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com. Get it, order it, big color glossy, follow in the footsteps of our founders and wake people up. It will certainly shake them out of their days because in a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. More of that with our special guest straight ahead. It's a surprise.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It's been out for a couple days, but didn't get attention until last night. It was in some of the establishment prostitute media, the dinosaur media, praising Jim Carrey. I've seen him in interviews. I mean, I think he genuinely is mentally ill. He's kind of a geek. That's why it's funny to watch him. Literally denigrate and in this disgusting 5-minute song, and we're going to go over some of the lyrics to it here today, and it's got some profanity, so we won't play all of it. Say that gun owners, but that Chuck Heston, Charlton Heston, a true humanitarian, a true civil rights activist, a patriot, that he is guilty for dead kids, that he won't be going to heaven, and that he's mentally ill and believes in space aliens. And it was just so ham-fisted and so pathetic, I got angry, and I figured it out last night. I couldn't even go to sleep, folks, and I can go to sleep in like 1 minute. I can just turn my brain off. I was so upset I couldn't go to bed till like 2 in the morning. I shot like 3 videos for the YouTube channel because I realized these people are so pathetic and such liars and such hypocrites with their bodyguards and so anti-individual and so wrong and so authoritarian that I'm angry that we have not routed them out. Now, I called a very busy individual, but he's obviously very angry about what's happening as well. I talked to him this morning on his cell phone, Ted Nugent, who needs no introduction, NRA board member, top rock and roller, patriot, hunter. I called him on his cell phone a couple hours ago, and I said, can you come on about Charlton Heston? I know you were very good friends with him and really got him to get more hardcore on the Second Amendment. He said, absolutely. It was Ted Nugent that helped supercharge Charlton Heston into the fight at many levels. So here is his friend to defend Chuck, Charlton Heston, because he can't do it. He's dead. Ted, you've got the floor, my friend. You've got the floor. Thank you for coming on, TedNugent.com. I know you're about to go on your Black Power tour, and but we appreciate you giving us time today. Sir, you've got the floor.
Well, Alex, thank you for that. I appreciate it. But a salute back at you, because there's no question that the great American legend and icon, a true warrior, a true hero, Charlton Heston, deserves nothing but respect from thinking, caring, conscientious, educated people. But again, as we talked before about the gift from God that Piers Morgan represents, I mean, God literally sent Piers Morgan from England to try to debate the Second Amendment. So you literally couldn't come up with Alfred E. Newman versus an audition for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest to come up with a better representative of a guy who hates freedom and hates the Second Amendment and hates Ted Nugent, Alex Jones, and hates the NRA and hates self-defense and hates guns. And I think we are not here so much to defend Charlton Heston, because once again, God has sent a complete brain-dead, soulless punk to desecrate the absolutely well-earned and deserved glowing reputation of the great Charlton Heston. And what Jim Carrey has done, and I've been all over, we have a talk back at TedNugent.com, and we have thousands of people from all around the world that come to celebrate self-evident truth and common sense. You know, the same communication that you get, Alex, from people who understand, you know, history, the evidence that brought us to the greatest experience and the greatest quality of life in America. And when a guy like Jim Carrey pulls off this kind of mean-spirited, soulless, I think the best word to describe Jim Carrey and Piers Morgan and guys like, you know, Michael, I'm still looking for personal hygiene more. They're all one big gaggle of soulless punks. And I would understand, and I understand when a person is uneducated and ignorant and hates America and hates self-defense and doesn't believe in self-defense. But then again, if you examine Michael Moore and his armed security detail, if you examine Jim Carrey and his armed security detail, when you examine Michael Bloomberg and Governor Cuomo and Nancy, you don't have to read this, you need to sign it, Pelosi, and of course our favorite gun runner, Eric Holder, when you examine the freedom haters who hate guns and want to do everything on film, stating clearly they would take away all the guns if they could, these people are perfect to to represent the other side, because when they open their mouth, yes, we have an unfortunate and a tragic percentage of Americans who are more like sheep than we the people that support these freedom haters. When they speak, common sense America, people who have jobs, people who put their heart and soul into being the best that they can be, people who appreciate the gift of life, the sacred gift of life, and our moral, intellectual, and spiritual obligation to defend that life, and that the Second Amendment was written down to remind us we have the individual God-given right to defend that precious gift of life. Good people understand the pure rot from Jim Carrey. So, in his grave, Alex, let's really examine this. From the grave, the great Charlton Heston represents bait to the Jim Carreys of the world. And I think Charlton Heston, if we could communicate with him, he would be smiling right now. He wouldn't be hurt. He would be smiling, because Charlton Heston knew the culture war was coming before any of us did, Alex. And here's the beauty. Charlton Heston would be more than proud to cause much anguish and insanity in the soulless vacuum of Jim Carrey's brain, or his skull. Charlton Heston is like you and I, Alex, only he's better. And he is just giddy with joy that he has inspired Jim Carrey to become even dumber than dumb, and to be just this toxic source of indecency and mean spirit and hate. Charlton Heston isn't even alive, and he caused Jim Carrey to expose his soullessness. So don't underestimate in the culture war, more important than the lie of Bowling for Columbine by Michael No Hygiene Moore and Nancy No Soul Pelosi and Diane I've Got a Gun But You Don't Get to Have One Feinstein. I mean, the list goes on of just hypocritical, brain dead, subhuman punks. Or not to mention, Alex, the Vice President of the United States recommending felonies live on TV. You got to be kidding me. Alex, again, if you and I were to sit down with all the greatest minds on earth, the most clever, educated, witty, brilliant minds on earth, we couldn't design an enemy that looks more ridiculous than Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Jim Carrey, Michael Moore, ad nauseum. So yes, it is hurtful, and it does inspire righteous indignation, and we should be angry, but we should also take a deep breath and go, hey, Jim, do it again, because you're distancing yourself further every time you open your imbecilic mouth, surrounded by your armed security details, demanding that the rest of us don't get to have any security. So, Alex, I know it hurts and it's ugly, but you know what? I think in Nuremberg, 1938, we got there late, but when we finally got there, we made those subhuman Nazi brown shirt punks walk through Auschwitz and look what they caused. Look what they did. And this Jim Carrey moment is a mirror that we can show somebody, hopefully soon, that these people enhance crime, they encourage crime, they facilitate and guarantee more innocent dead citizens.
Sure.
Because they're...
Well, that's it. They know, Ted Nugent joining us, they know crime's dropped 49%, violent crime, FBI statistics since 1991. As the guns go up, the crime goes down. They know that. So it is a criminal instinct of hypocrisy to want to dominate us, because they're collectivists that end up getting our banker bailout money. They are just lawless parasites. Michael Moore, all of them, they know exactly. Dianne Feinstein, she's got her own gun. She's got her own security detail. They have this I'll say it, criminal instinct to disarm us.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Come on, baby. It is hard to fade down that music, and the man that created it, Ted Nugent, is with us. And the more I get to know Ted Nugent, obviously I've known him for years. He's been coming on the show for probably 15 years. But the more I really get to know him, and he is such a patriot. And you notice as things get more hardcore, he gets more hardcore. And I wanted to talk to him about how to beat these people. We're going to get to the fun of guns after we cover the more serious topics in a moment. But before we do that, remember, this broadcast is listener supported. We're building the news organization, the nightly news, the films, the monthly magazine. Everything we're doing isn't funded by banker bailouts and taxpayer money like MSNBC and CNN. It is funded by your support. And so I go out and find the best products that I can find, get the best deal, buy them in bulk, and sell them at the lowest price, like the stainless steel ProPure water filtration system that blows away the competition. Very important to have clean water, so it's a win-win-win. You can get that at InfoWarsStore.com. That's InfoWars, one word, store.com. You can also find all the pro-Second Amendment. Come and take it with a M16 or AK-47 with the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed inside the gun. Best-selling shirt out there. People are getting them all over the country. Camouflage, InfoWars.com, ball caps, the films, the materials. It is a culture war, so wear your uniform, folks, and meet like-minded people. We have the Obama Joker Tyrant shirt, a limited edition. We have the new 1776 Spirit of Liberty shirt that just came out with Paul Revere riding on it with M16s crossed on the front and the back. Just amazing at InfoWarsStore.com. And the more you fuel us in midair refueling, the more you fund us, the more we're going to get the word out. In fact, I'm about to put 1 million bumper stickers in the new, not this month, but the next month magazine. 1 million of them. 6 bumper stickers per magazine going out. One of them is a Second Amendment sticker. The others are InfoWars. It's time to get aggressive, 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 aggressive. And support TedNugent.com. The globalist, the New World Order types love to act like we're all alone, that we don't have any power, that we're weirdos. At the end of the Charlton Heston demonization video where they say he killed the kids, God hates him, he's going to hell, he's a psycho, he's scum, he blows his foot off. At the end of the attempted defaming that falls flat on its face by the little scrofulous creature Jim Carrey and his masters, at the end of the whole video, you realize that these people are just pathetic and that all they've done is give us another tool to show what scum they are. But we are in a culture war. And at the end of the video, they all laugh at Charlton Heston and laugh at gun owners, and you're supposed to feel like you're alone at the end. You're supposed to feel like as there's blood all over Charlton Heston, you're supposed to feel like you're a moron and because this scum laughed at you. That's all peer pressure manipulation. These people are the scum, and they really are the degenerate scum. What do you say about really getting aggressive? Then get into DHS. Get into still touring, getting bigger every day, the wake-up that's happening. I want to get into Uncle Ted's advice in this war. Ted Nugent, you've got the floor.
Well, Alex, when you recommend getting more aggressive, surely you've seen the YouTube video of me holding up a bunch of drum-fed AR-15s on stage and telling Nancy Pelosi, then-Senator Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer,
oh, yes,
Dianne Feinstein, et al. To suck on my machine guns. Should I get more aggressive than that?
No, I think, no, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling the public.
I know what you mean, but we love you madly, but I do believe that I may be the only guy on the planet who's got a couple notches up the aggressive chart from Alex.
Oh, no, let me be clear. I agree with you. I'm telling the audience, I think it's time to get aggressive. What do you say then?
I just thought I'd make sure, if people listening right now to us, Alex, haven't Googled my name lately, get yourself some popcorn and a couple of big gulps.
You're right.
And Google Ted Nugent and watch me drive the liberals berserk.
That's what I do sometimes on Saturday nights. I literally do. Go watch your latest YouTube.
I mean, it's just his. And by the way, Alex, my wife will tell you, I never in my life have woke up in the morning, rubbed my hands together, got a wild eye look in my face and gone, what can I do to drive liberals batty? I've never given it a thought. Swear to God, my instincts
exactly
are to stand up for truth, logic, the logic and pragmatism that brings independent quality of life, and I celebrate and promote those things. I started promoting, never defending. I have never defended the Second Amendment or backstraps. I've never defended anything. I promote and celebrate all good things, self-evident truth, logic, goodwill, decency, and the American way. And I found out as early as 1965, 1966, the beatniks were morphing into the hippies, and they hated me. And I sat back for a minute, and I go, you hate me because I believe in self-defense and I eat venison? Are you kidding me? But here's the bottom line. I would love to get Pelosi and Boxer and Feinstein and Michael Moore and Jim Carrey and Bill Maher and Piers Morgan, I'd like them to get on film and admit, how much dope have you smoking? How many mind altering, and I'm not alleging they have, allegedly they talk and conduct themselves like cesspools of mind altering drugs. And I bet you, if you got everybody that hates Ted Nugent and Alex Jones and the NRA and freedom in America, if you got all of them to take some truth serum and look in the camera and admit how much mind-altering substance abuse they've subjected themselves to for how long, no one would be surprised that they are Timothy Leary run amok. And that's what you can expect from those kind of people. When you have intentionally poisoned and destroyed your brain, you can come out with a video like Jim Carrey has.
Well, let me throw this at you briefly and then get into all those other topics we talked about during the break. Again, Ted Nugent's our guest. If you just tuned in, and he's on fire today after they've tried to desecrate and demonize Charlton Heston. I believe it will blow up in their face. Buzz Bissinger was on the Piers Morgan show a few days after I was on there, and he said, you know, we ought to get him in here and shoot him. And then the ambassador's daughter, Huntsman's daughter, and Morgan agree and say, yeah, I'll put on a police uniform, and they fetishize that, real creepy, and we'll shoot Alex Jones. And then Buzz Bissinger has now come out and admitted he likes to buy $600,000 a year of women's clothing. And I mean, my whole issue is, what is the point of this? I mean, you know, this guy is, if I said kill him, which I'm not, I mean, that's like going out in the yard and stepping on dog crap. If I said kill him, I would be arrested. He said kill me, and then it's a joke. These people fetishize killing us, and they're constantly talking about killing constitutionalists. There's, you know, there's so many examples of this with people like Alec Baldwin, you name it.
I mean, well, that's why our instincts, you know, and again, if we go back to what made America great, we didn't meet the British punks at Concord Bridge to make them tea and have a discussion. We blew their brains out. That's how you stop tyrants. That's how you stop King George. That's how you stop despots and emperors and punks that want to control your life and oppress freedom. You meet them at Concord Bridge and you blow their damn brains out. That's what we did in 1776 because we'd about had enough.
If you want an American company with American products made by Americans, here is the Cal Bend Soap Company. Alex and his staff have used these pure soap products for years. These all-natural soaps are made from the highest quality vegetable and coconut oils that are earth-friendly and safe. See them on the web at 5starsoap.com or call 800-340-7091 for a free catalog. Buy the 1 to 2 month sample package and enjoy soaps that are twice as good as what you're using now. Or save big with a 1 to 2 year supply of soaps for all your cleaning needs. This is an amazing deal. You can save thousands of dollars and you will love the way real soap makes you feel. See them on the web at 5starsoap.com or call 800-340-7091 for a free catalog.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central, we're here live also on XM 166 and over 150 AM and FM affiliates. I'm Alex Jones, your host. The websites are Infowars.com and InfowarsNews.com, where we have Infowars Nightly News. TedNugent.com is an amazing website and has a lot of just really cutting edge information on it when it comes to the fight for liberty. And you were talking about the fact this is a war, Ted Nugent.
When you made that statement on Piers Morgan, I've seen the transcript. All I can say is, duh, hello, self-evident truth, common sense, and history is not up for discussion. It is what it is. But now in the culture war, it is important that we let them talk. We let them threaten our lives. We let them call the greatest, maybe one of the greatest heroes of the civil rights movement, next to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and others that sacrificed so much, the freedom marchers and so many. Charlton Heston is the most revered and earned reputation icon and hero, Alex. So let Jim Carrey show his evil side. Let Jim Carrey lie. His entire video is a lie. And these punks like Bill Maher cannot separate their humor license, their creative humor license, from the respect due to a great man like Charlton Heston. So it's good that they take the bait, but we, the people, who still understand the foundation of the greatest quality of life in the history of the world as outlined in the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, those of us that are in the asset column of America, we still are running short of our responsibilities to educate, inspire, and prod everyone in our lives. There's an enormous army that could have won this last election, Alex, if all of us that knew the truth and knew the evidence, if we shared it and we asked and we really pushed harder to get our friends to join the NRA, to communicate with their elected officials, and to speak up. There's still too many sheep in America, and the sheep dogs need to educate them so we can reduce the wolves.
You're right. And in closing on the point of Charlton Heston, before we get into solutions, so many people that support liberty are just quiet and, you know, they're sitting back and they're waiting if the system pushes too much. And as Andrew Jackson said, don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes. You know, I understand the point of let the enemy run amok. That's what's discrediting. Polls show that people are more pro-gun now than they were just 6 months ago.
Sure.
There's a new CBS poll out. They're very upset that their whole hoax has failed. But at the same time, they've still got control of the government and the bureaucracy because they crave the control. How do we really get on the offense as individuals? I say go to city councils. I say get in the face of police chiefs that are anti-gun. I mean, my own police chief in Austin says, you know, turn in your semi-autos, ban high-capacity clips, ban gun shows, you can't buy your son a gun, no private sales, you don't need a semi-auto to protect yourself. Well, then how about the Austin police, who I know most of them are good people, how about you turn in your semi-autos? What a load of bull. What do you say to that?
Well, he's obviously the illegitimate stepchild of Ann Richards. That still exists. I mean, Sheila Jackson Lee is alive and well in Texas. So we've got anti-freedom. We got hypocrites because I guarantee you that chief of police has a semi-auto to protect his family, Alex. Are you kidding me? Well, again, it's communication. I've been doing this forever. I think I was one of the first guys to find myself face-to-face with the whites of their eyes in the culture war back in the 1960s, because the tip of that spear has always been gun rights and hunting rights, private property, hunting, conservation. We, the people, own those resources, not the king. So I got to tell you, I'm going to put out a salute right now to Ranger Tess and Go-Kart and Steve and so many guys at my talkback, Blood Trails. I have thousands and thousands of people, not just from the United States, but Canada, Japan, Australia, Germany, England, Belgium, Sweden. I mean, people from all around the world who dream of, who crave and have the instinct to be independent and free. They come to TedNugent.com Talkback, and a salute to them, because for every talkbacker that you and I communicate with, they need to communicate with another dozen, and those dozen need to communicate with another dozen. That's how we win this culture war. We have not turned up the heat. We have not got aggressive enough, but we always have to be on the civil, polite, goodwill and decency side and let the Jim Carreys spew their venom. Let them expose themselves for the haters and the freedom haters and the America haters with the stats and statistics and evidence at our fingertips and at the tip of our tongue, Alex, we will win. That's why I salute you. That's what you're doing. And everybody listening, they don't need to call Alex and say thank you. They need to call everybody else in their lives and get them going.
You're right. Let's get into solutions. Talk about, because you got cut off by the break, the DHS situation. It's admitting there's an armed buildup, that they're trying to create this new domestic security force pointed at the American people. But then I want to hear about the Delta Force and SEALs and people you know. You were telling me off air how incredibly awake they're getting. And then let's talk about solutions. The gun culture they're so afraid of that's spreading, going and literally getting somebody into guns, that one person after another. That's how we're truly going to win.
And you see it happening all across this country. Yeah, it's like your chief of police in Austin, isn't that a heartbreaker? That a Texas law enforcement officer sides with Nancy Pelosi? I mean, are you kidding me? So what did he do? Pee at the wall of the Alamo like Ozzy Osbourne? I'm just heartbroken because I know a bunch of those Austin cops. But here's the final overview. I'm a lucky guy. I get to hang and barbecue and hunt and train with the greatest commando hero warriors that ever lived. I mean, I am so humble, I'm surprised I can even grovel at their feet. Delta Force, Navy SEALs, the Special Ops, the Army Rangers, SWAT commanders, and heroes of law enforcement and military all across this land. I held the hand of Sergeant Todd Balding, who happened to be from Austin, Alex. I held his hand over in Iraq. He took an RPG center mass. I'll try not to cry on your radio show here. He's a young black man, 22 years old. RPG center mass, Alex. It was still in his guts. I stood there in his blood, and I held his hand as he died. I don't need any more inspiration. He died because he swore an oath, Mr. Chief of Police, to enforce, abide by, and fight for, and die for the U.S. Constitution. Do you think I need some punk, some dependent little whiny, soulless, doped-up crybaby like Jim Carrey to give me direction on constitutional and Bill of Rights guaranteed God-given individual rights? Are you kidding me? So everybody close their eyes right now, unless you're driving, and think of Todd Balding as he bled to death. He took this giant, ugly RPG rocket right in the guts, and he bled to death fighting for freedom and going after terrorists who attack Americans because of their voodoo, Allah puke, Muslim insanity. And if that's not worth inspiring you to join the NRA, to communicate with your elected officials and do your duty as we the people, then I don't think there's any hope for you, and you probably ought to just move to Canada.
Well, it really is disgusting that these people parade around. In fact, since you mentioned that, and I want to talk about the terror and you know, the culture war, having fun, that is the way to defeat them. Obama says post-Assad Syria of Islamist extremism is nightmare scenario. Obama in Libya, in Syria, I'm not saying Gaddafi or the guy in Syria are good guys, but they weren't offensively doing anything. They're putting real Al-Qaeda out of Saudi Arabia over there and are now talking about our troops having to go in after Assad falls to fight them. I mean, what is going on with Obama openly funding real Al-Qaeda? I don't know if you've seen the videos of them chopping Christians' heads off in Syria. I can't even believe this. It's like some outer limits or some other dimension that it's in the news. Obama warns Syria could become enclave from extremism. Why is our government offensively with NATO now saying NATO is over our military? Our military has spoken out against this, by the way. I'm sure you know that.
Sure.
What is going on with that? What are your, do you hear anything from your military sources about this craziness, the 10,000 missiles from Benghazi? Why did they kill the ambassador? They stood down. My inside sources that are in Army intelligence say Obama wanted him dead. It was the Benghazi security force that was Al-Qaeda that came over and killed him.
I still believe in the American dream. I still believe you can hear me scream. You're still alive, still on fire. I defy.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation,
It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
What is going on with Obama?
I mean, boy, where do you begin to answer that question? Here's a guy that was born to communists, raised by communists, educated by communists, preached to by America-hating communists. I mean, who hasn't studied where this acorn Chicago gangster scammer came from? But that's what I was talking about, the Department of Homeland Security, which, by the way, Alex, you're on the phone with the czar of Homeland Security. My homeland is secure. Know that. But the domestic agencies, from the IRS to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife to the Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Forest Service, and DEA, and ATF, and FBI, and remember, a lot of those people, I still think the majority of those agents are great patriots and great men and women. And I hang the future of America on the nail of truth that they have expressed to me that they will not enforce illegal anti-constitutional orders from above. That is the great hope. But that they're purchasing all this firepower and armored vehicles, who doesn't know this? Who doesn't identify this as an illegal act by the government who is so corrupt, so out of control? Thank God for Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Ron Paul and Governor Perry and Greg Abbott and Steve Stockman and Bill Flores and so many patriots that are standing up and but that's the new GOP that we the people have prodded with the we the people pulse. When you extract the we the people pulse from politics, you will get we the sheeple. I give you Barack Hussein Obama.
I think they're gearing up. What do you think's going on with the bullets? Are they trying to just dry up the bullet supply?
Well, they certainly have succeeded at that. I started my own Ted Nugent line of ammo here last year, and it's like everything else you find on the shelf nowadays, if you can find any. It's state-of-the-art stuff. But we literally can't get my pallets of ammo off the truck. People are buying them in the parking lot before they even get to the shelves. Which, you know, on a consumer side, I'm gleeful of. And the ammo industry, the firearms industry, is literally having a consumer orgy like never before, which is a very powerful statement from we the people that we smell what you're doing, Obama, and we're gearing up too. And a little don't tread on me reminder seems to be appropriate right now. So there's no question what's going on. The deceit, the scam, the criminality, the Benghazi, the Fast and Furious, sending F-16s to Egypt. I mean, you got to be kidding me. This would make a stupid Burns movie that Alfred Hitchcock wouldn't produce because it's too stupid, but it's actually happening.
But that's what frustrates me. That's why I got so sick. I'm going to be honest. I came in last night from work, you know, being an evil American. I got home by about 9. And she said, "What is wrong with you?" And I just, my kids all came up and they were around me, and 10 down to age 5, and earned it. "What's wrong, Dad?" And I just said, "I don't want to talk about it." And then I couldn't, I got so, it was past anger. It was the shame that we allow this scum to walk all over us, and that this country has allowed pathetic filth and authoritarians to even call themselves liberal. Thomas Jefferson was a liberal. They're not liberals. And it just made me reaffirm that I am going to redouble 110%, and I'm coming after these people. Now, what do you think about ways to go after, legally and lawfully, to go after Kerry and all these globalists? How do we really get aggressive? Boycott? What do we do?
Well, you know, I have such a, if you can bear with me, I literally have the answer, the perfect answer. Ted Cruz didn't sprout out of the ground and just show up. I communicated with him. Texans who cared communicated with him. We enthused him. We supported him. Now he represents us. And did you see the beauty, the perfection of we the people when Ted Cruz...
That's right. We backed him. We backed him. So we take over. And that's what even the Republican establishment is scared of, real constitutional libertarian campaign for liberty people.
Absolutely. But that's why Ted Cruz so riled up Feinstein, because he represented the common sense pulse of logic, freedom-loving Americans. And every state needs to do that. And there's a lot of states that do that. Arizona, we the people, where we don't demand representation based on the Constitution and our common sense, where we don't demand it, we will get the Pelosis and the Feinsteins and the Bloombergs and the Cuomos and the subhuman freedom haters that are infesting this corrupt government right now. So the answer is activism, activism, activism. Always polite.
Exactly.
Always firm. But never, ever give up.
Well, here's an example. DrudgeReport.com in the last year has been taking our stories and putting them out about the billion bullets, the 1.6, the 2 billion, the armored vehicles. And they just said it didn't exist, Politico and other White House fronts. Now there's a 15-member congressional investigation starting. Congressman, it's my duty to get to the bottom of massive DHS ammo buy. It's now on Fox, CNN, everywhere. They're being caught lying. And there's an example of just taking action and the people talking to their Congress folks. We're now forcing this issue out. And we can do that everywhere when we just move against them. The deeper you get into this fight, it is not work, folks. My problem is I am completely obsessed with it because I'm being assaulted. I'm angry, and I have an instinct to, it's like a fight. If some guy starts a fight and starts kicking your butt, when you start kicking their butt back, you know, you want to go ahead and put them all the way down so they don't get back up. I want to really get on the offense and really go after them. And if everybody would join state and national gun groups like the NRA and others, if everybody would go to their state houses and get aggressive, we would rout these people. In fact, Ted Nugent, in closing, you're talking about winning and also having fun. Don't you think that they've jumped the shark here and that if we double down, we can actually have an offense that could really, once and for all, defeat the collectivist?
Yeah, it almost took, in fact, not almost, it has taken this extreme attack on our individual freedoms by Barack Obama and all his gangster punk friends out there to wake a lot of Americans up buying more firearms, more ammo than ever in recorded history of planet Earth. That's a great sign. But don't underestimate the importance. I use the term cleanse my soul, Alex. I get up in the tree with my bow and arrow, or I train with these heroes of the military that have sacrificed their arms and their legs, and we shoot machine guns from helicopters and kill hogs, and we barbecue and we fish. So never underestimate the importance of getting away from the battle. As long as you've done the battle to the best of your ability and signed up new members of the NRA, Gun Owners of America, you've communicated with your elected officials, and you've kind of educated slash chastised your friends who are not engaged. But then get out with your family, invite some new shooters, take that 22 with ears and eyes and hearing protection and eye protection, and introduce some new shooters. I have a Ted Nugent Camp for Kids charity for 25 years, and we have graduated over 15,000 young Americans into the shooting sports for safe, proper,
beautiful
gun handling. That drives the enemy berserk. That's how you cleanse your soul while you're winning the war, having the time of your life.
No, you're right. We all need to fight hard and then play hard. The Black Power Tour, in closing, tell us about that. That really upset the system that your inspiration was black rock and rollers. It also upsets them that Charlton Heston was such a humanitarian in the civil rights movement.
Well, all the good music in the world comes from black artists, from the Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters into Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry and Little Richard and James Brown and Wilson Pickett and Sam and Dave and the Motown Funk Brothers. So my incredible band, the greatest rock and roll rhythm and blues band in the world, Greg Smith and Mick Brown and Derek St. Holmes, we're hitting the road this year, starting next month with REO and Styx. Then we're going out all summer before the hunting season starts. But we're going to play a tribute, as we always have for 50 years, to those black American heroes that have inspired every piece of killer music in the history of mankind. And it's called Black Power because the black artists showed us the way musically and emotionally, and that spirit and the uppity ferocity. So we should take that and use it. You can use Stranglehold as the ultimate soundtrack for freedom and defiance. And I want to thank everybody for making our Spirit of the Wild show the number one show on Outdoor Channel, and our Wanted Ted or Alive show the number one show on Sportsman Channel. But I'm keeping at it. I'm turning up the heat, and we need to get more aggressive and need to win this culture war ASAP.
Well, look at how you know, all these hit shows on Discovery, they're trying to cancel them, even though they're hits, because they know we're winning the culture war. I see this whole attack as desperate flailing.
It is desperate flailing, but that's going to backfire on Jim Carrey's going to backfire. Michael Moore's backfiring. I believe, Nancy, you don't need to read this. You need to sign it. Pelosi is a backfire in itself. So we need to take advantage of the indecency, the hate from the other side. We need to express it. Always express it calmly. If you're going to call your senator, have a piece of paper with the main 2 points you want to make.
Absolutely. TedNugent.com. Ted, thank you for giving such an eloquent defense of Charlton Heston. Not that he needed it, you're right, but God bless you, and we'll talk to you again very soon. Folks, Ted Nugent.
Godspeed, Alex.
You too. Goodbye. We'll be right back. Stay with us. That was Ted Nugent.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I tell you, that last hour was the opposite of blood-pumping nuclear-powered brain damage. That was blood-pumping nuclear-powered liberty with the crazed rocker and defender of the Second Amendment, the Liberty Teeth, good old Ted Nugent. Now, I will be back live next week on the Sunday show and throughout the week, but, I mean, it is Easter, and the crew is pointing out, it is Easter, and that little bunny rabbit hops around laying eggs, so can we have off? And so, yes, this is a retransmission, obviously. Coming up, Larry Elder, a lot of you missed this interview, very powerful, dealing with how they try to create racial division. And John Rappaport, how they're now drugging people with mind control drugs to get them ready to, quote, tell the truth in trial. So maybe we'll just waterboard you now up, during the trial, when the prosecutor will be the one who actually waterboards you. We'll go back to the Spanish Inquisition. Dun, dun, dun. That's a Monty Python allusion, but it was actually a very serious thing. And then maybe they'll just waterboard you. But they used to waterboard you down to the bottom of the castle, down in the dungeon, and then kind of walk you, back up to the top. And then you would say that you were guilty of everything. So let's just dispense with all the waterboarding now. I love world government. It's very reasonable. And even though they admit aspartame gives you diabetes and kills you, I love Bill Gates and think he's a good person and everybody should drink more aspartame. I'm no longer a conspiracy theorist. I embrace total tyranny. And simultaneously say it doesn't exist with Crime Stop 1984. Okay, now coming up in a minute is a little piece I did a few years ago, but it hadn't gotten the traffic it deserves. It's the two-party dictatorship, 2 minutes long, very, very powerful. And so I hope that all of you get this information out to people who are in the two-party system. Lastly, this is the last day, but they may extend it into tomorrow. Just get your call in today. The free shipping, efoodsdirect.com/Alex is where you find it. Only does one time a year. Give eFoodsDirect.com a call because the biggest cost of high-quality storable foods is the shipping. And so this is a big deal they do once a year, 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. And, yeah, they're a great sponsor and help buy war bonds to get the info war out. So 800-409-5633. And I know they are going to remove it by tomorrow. In fact, they really end their specials when they end. So get your call in tonight, 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. And they also got a free meal planning deal with 6 free meals and a free planning CD. It's really great to get. So get those while you're at it. 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Here it is on Easter. The left-right paradigm explained. The two-party dictatorship explained. I wanted to draw a picture that describes effectively the false left-right paradigm. The Republican Party props up the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party props up the Republican Party. By itself, a single-party system will fall over. But if you take the two-party systems and you lean them up against each other, this is basically the arch. Their force going together keeps them together and makes it become a very strong, stable platform on which they can build their hierarchical New World Order system. So the current two-party system has been dominated and bought up and controlled by the elite that sits atop it. Now the elite with a one-party system would not be balanced on top of one party. They would be subject to being toppled. But you put the two parties up against each other, they form a royal arch. And now it's very hard to separate those two because they're leaning up against each other. And so Republicans attack Barack Obama. And then the Democrats attack John McCain. And then the population who's down here is trained to see John McCain as representing them personally, as being their daddy, of where their personal power comes from, of their camp, their brand name, their brand of soda. And so this is a controlled paradigm. And really, it's one unit supporting themselves and containing revolution so that the people who are down here never learn that there is a world outside of this controlled paradigm. We are locked within the left-right paradigm, and then it becomes this huge pageant, this huge distraction where we analyze every facet of the two political parties, never realizing they themselves are simply a front or puppets for a larger power structure. And then they can limit the scope of differences which, if you look at it, there's almost no difference between the two, instead of getting the people to look outside the box at the wider world.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are here live. We've had Larry Elder scheduled. We're trying to connect with him on Skype. We'll see if that happens. Very interesting individual, of course, radio host there in Los Angeles, and his views on Obama and where all this is going. But I'll tell you this, the power structure is pulling out all the stops now to just confuse reality. And our answer is to get real, to get serious, and go all the way. And by going all the way, we've gotten in this position because the establishment says be mealy-mouthed, don't be aggressive, compromise, that's how you're successful. And during the sellout of America, some people could be successful for a time doing that. But now we're getting down to the end game, folks. You've got to realize this is a very bad place we're going to, and you cannot imagine that you're part of the power structure. You cannot imagine that and get out of all this because you're not part of the power structure. I mean, look at this. Citizens tell gun grabbers, you are coloring outside the lines of constitutional parameters. They're suing New York that they can't bar the Second Amendment. See, you get back on the offensive. Now 15 members of Congress are saying, we want to see why you're buying thousands of armored vehicles and billions of bullets. It's happening. Fast and Furious is getting back out there. And again, we're in deep trouble because both political parties, to a great extent, are bought and paid for by crony capitalist interests that want to use socialism at the grassroots to control us and crony capitalism on the top of the system to absolutely, totally, and completely get everybody domesticated. And I just don't want to live under this. Very exciting. I don't know why I've never had this guy on, or maybe I did many years ago. It seems I did. It all blurs together. We're doing radio 6 days a week, but he, of course, is one of the most popular talk show hosts out in California, and I think sometimes he's been syndicated. Again, I don't have time to follow a lot of media outside of what we do and what the establishment throws at us, but he's hosted the Larry Elder Show for more than 15 years. That's right, nationally syndicated. And I just know every time I see clips of him, it's always just extremely informative, and he's been on everything from Oprah to you name it, LarryElder.com. And I'm very, very excited to have him on the broadcast with us to talk about the state of the world and how crazy everything's gotten and what he expects the collectivists to do. I see him trying to play us off against each other as much as they can desperately so that we don't get together and unify around the Bill of Rights and Constitution. Larry, it's good to have you on with us. Thanks for spending time.
Alex, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Well, it's an honor to have you. Wow, so much is going on out there in the world. What is front and center on your radar screen?
Well, Alex, as I was trying to tell Mr. Piers Morgan when I was on there a couple of weeks ago, if you really want to talk about gun violence in America, the face of gun violence, as horrific as Sandy Hook was, is not the face of some suburban kid. A kid is more likely to be struck by lightning, Alex, than to be killed in a school shooting. The face of gun violence in this country is a 15-year-old girl who performed at Obama's inauguration who was killed by one of those to whom it may concern gang-related bullets. It's a 6-year-old Latina girl who was sitting on her porch one night in March last year, Alex, one of five people to be killed in that hour in Chicago. Chicago is a city right now which is on track for 2 Sandy Hooks per month. If you look at the demographics of Chicago, the city is roughly a third black, a third white, and a third Hispanic. However, the homicides, 70% of them are committed by black people, and usually the victim is almost always another black person. Take New York. New York, demographically, about 46% or so white, about 17 to 20% Hispanic, about that same number of blacks. However, according to Police Commissioner Kelly, 96% of the homicides are committed by black and brown people. Almost always, Alex, the victim is another black or brown person. Now, the question is, why is this going on? We have a couple of possible suspects. One is racism. problem with that is during Jim Crow, when we had not only de facto segregation, but we had legal segregation, you didn't find this kind of criminality coming from the black community. What about racism? During the Great Depression, 50% of the black adults were unemployed. 50%. You did not find this kind of criminality. 70% today of black kids are born outside of wedlock. That is triple the number back in 1965. Today, 50% of Hispanic kids are born outside of wedlock, about 35% of white kids. Now, I mention that because there's a direct relationship between not having a father in the house and fill in the blank of your favorite social ill, whether it's dropouts, whether it's unemployment, whether it's just gun homicide. A direct relationship between not having a father in the house and bad behavior. And we've incentivized people into having children without getting married because we've given people money after the so-called war on poverty was launched. Lyndon Johnson, Alex, literally sent poverty workers going door-to-door in inner-city households, letting women know of their so-called rights to welfare, provided there was no man in the house. So from 1965, the percentage of black kids born outside of wedlock has tripled as we spent $16 trillion on so-called poverty programs. We've incentivized people into making bad decisions. We've allowed women to get food stamps, AFDC, you name it. A woman with two children living on welfare is making more money than she would if he had a minimum wage job. And we've allowed the man to abandon his financial and moral responsibility. Bill Cosby calls such men unwed fathers. That's what we've done for the last 50 years, and the left can't come to the conclusion, oh, my Lord, what have I done? So they got to blame racism, sexism, and, yes, high-capacity magazines.
Well, absolutely. I saw you with one of our reporters do an interview a few weeks ago, David Ortiz, and that's why Ortiz wanted to get you on to expand on all of this, because it's so crazy that now you say, I don't want socialist health care, racist. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have all of this corporate welfare, racist. I want my Second Amendment. And then the Fox columnist and others say, well, that's racist. And I go, explain to me how it's racist. And they go, I'm not going to. I'm going to throw that out to distract the whole debate. And then I go back to Margaret Sanger, who said, look at these black communities. They're becoming wealthy. They're self-sufficient. We're not going to integrate to bring real equality. We're going to integrate so we can get rid of these weeds. Mm-hmm. We've got to pose as liberals. Are you familiar? I mean, you're pretty smart and obviously informed guy, but most people aren't that I talk to, of her writings and stuff. And that I don't think the left actually did this on accident. A lot of bleeding hearts actually think it's good and actually want to help people. But the higher ups, I mean, the Democratic Party was the Ku Klux Klan party, but when they couldn't suppress blacks anymore by the 20s and 30s, they became the Democrats.
The Democratic Party has been completely skanky. The members of the Democratic Party formed the Klan. The Klan used to be called the terror wing of the Democratic Party. And you're right about Margaret Sanger. She was a proponent of eugenics. She believed that certain people were socially undesirable, and they were usually poor, young black women. I've written a book about this called Dear Father, Dear Son, Two Lives, 8 Hours, where I talk about the importance of fathers. And one of the things I try and do, Alex, is use sources that people can't impeach. I could use the Heritage Foundation. They've done all sorts of studies showing the lack of fathers and all the social ills that I mentioned. Charles Murray wrote a wonderful book called Losing Ground, arguably the most important book about the devastation to the nuclear intact family by the welfare state that's been written in the last 50 years. So I use people like that well-known neocon Tupac Shakur. After he died, Alex, there was a documentary that came out called Resurrection. And in the documentary, he said, I know for a fact if I had had a father in my life, I would have had some discipline and I would have been more confident. A man needs to be raised by a man. And then he proceeded to explain why he joined gangs. He wanted protection, he wanted structure, and he wanted values. He's saying this. I'm not saying this. This is Tupac Shakur. And the LA Times had a poll back in the 80s, and they asked poor people and non-poor people the following question. Do you believe that young poor women often have children to get additional welfare benefits? The majority of non-poor people said no. However, when poor people were asked the same question, do you believe that young poor women often have children to get additional benefits, 64% said yes. So they're telling us we're just not listening. And one time I had on my show one of these so-called black leaders, Kwesi Mfume. I haven't been able to get Jackson or Farrakhan or Sharpton on my show in 20 years. But Kwesi Mfume, when he was in the head of the NAACP, came on. And to his credit, I asked him the following question. Mr. Mfume, as between the presence of white racism, which you often talk about, or the absence of black fathers, which in my opinion you don't talk about enough, which poses a bigger threat to the black community? And without missing a beat, he said, the absence of fathers. So they're telling us we're just not listening.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. extremism and defense of liberty is no vice.
You could accept the fact that this city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Tell us some about your books, because this is something that can be used, the knowledge you're laying out, to empower people. And I think I'm going to read them. Other people should as well.
Well, Alex, my book, Dear Father, Dear Son, is about my relationship with my own father, which was not good. My father was what I call a junkyard dog dad. He was a Montford Point Marine. They were the equivalent of the Tuskegee Airmen. He was the first black Marine. There were 20,000 of them that trained in North Carolina. So rough, tough guy. And I misunderstood his tough exterior for lack of love. He beat us with a belt, with a telephone cord. Not uncommon the way people were punished in those days, especially if the adult came from the South. But I just mistook that for lack of love. So when I'm 15 years old, my dad and I have this furious fight. And we don't speak for 10 years. And finally, I'm 25 years old. We sit down and we speak. I figured the conversation would last 10 minutes. It lasted 8 hours. And during that period of time, I found out that the name Elder, my last name, is the name of the boyfriend who was in his life the longest. He never married his mother. He was an alcoholic who beat my father and his mother. My dad comes home from school, has a fight with the mother's then boyfriend, a different man than Elder. The mother sides with the boyfriend. My dad is thrown out of the house, never to return. We're talking about a black kid, Jim Crow South, age of 13, a year or two before the beginning of the Great Depression, Athens, Georgia. And my dad never returned home. And despite all of his troubles, my dad always told my brothers and me this: hard work wins. You get out of life what you put into it. No matter how hard you work, bad things are going to happen. And how you respond to those bad things will tell me whether or not your mother and I raised a man. And I would always say, not too much pressure, Dad. My point is this. He was around. He was a rough, tough, imperfect father, but he was around. And by word and by deed,
exactly,
he taught me what it's like to be a dad.
Well, they say a dad's got to be perfect. And you know what? Your dad gets scared. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not listening. You're out of control. I'll tell you, it's better to have brutal discipline than no discipline at all. These kids are a wreck. So they end up in prison. They end up dead. And it's because they've destroyed fathers in America that now what happened to the black community has been done everywhere else. And it is destroying our civilization.
And Alex, the key is hard work. The formula is very simple. Graduate from high school, don't have a kid before you're 20 years old, and get married before you have the kid. James Q. Wilson said anybody who follows that formula will not be poor. If you fail to follow that formula, there's a good chance you are going to be poor. So the question is, what are we doing to incentivize, or perhaps more importantly, what are we doing to de-incentivize people into following that formula? That's what's going on here. And we know what works, Alex, because in 1996, Bill Clinton reluctantly signed the Welfare Reform Act. What happened? Welfare rolls declined by over 50%. So we know that a bunch of able-bodied and able-minded people were on the couch. They got off after they realized the jig was up. We need to continue that, and welfare needs to be done at the state and local level. The federal government needs to get out of it altogether, and we need to encourage the so-called 1,000 points of light. There are a whole bunch of people in the community doing stuff. Big brothers, big sisters. I belong to an organization called A Place Called Home, where I contribute money to an organization that teaches people on computers, and that's what you have to do in the short run, because there aren't fathers here. You have to incentivize people to get into their communities and to being mentors for these young people until we turn out the culture, which is changing policies and letting people know it is not a good idea to be an unwed father. That's an expression that Bill Cosby has been using. My mother and my dad has been using.
Oh, yeah. People think it's so cool to go get young women pregnant and then just turn your kids loose to be destroyed. There is nothing more punkish than that.
And, you know, when I mentioned Kwesi Mfume, this is the guy who turned his life around, Alex. This is the guy who had four or five kids by four or five different women and then turned his life around and has been dedicating himself to trying to improve things in the black community. The thing that really bothers me about some of these so-called black leaders, whether it's Farrakhan, Jackson, or or Sharpton, they all should know something about the importance of fathers, because in their own lives, their fathers were either absent or bad dads. Jackson's father was a married man who lived next door to his teenage mother, got her pregnant. Jackson grew up in South Carolina with taunt, Jesse ain't got no daddy, Jesse ain't got no daddy. It bothered him. In the case of Sharpton, Sharpton was middle class until his father abandoned the family, then down to the ghetto. In the case of Farrakhan, his mother was estranged from her husband, had a boyfriend, took back up with the estranged husband, got pregnant, didn't want the boyfriend to know, so she tried to abort Farrakhan with a coat hanger on several occasions. So all
well, that's right. When you cheat on your wife, when you cheat on your wife, folks, you're really cheating on your kids. Mm. I mean, that's the bottom line. People think it's so cool to cheat. They think it's really sexy, really fun. I'm not judging people that have done it. We're human. Stuff goes. But the point is, it's certainly not something to be proud of.
One of the greatest expressions I've ever heard about this, Alex, is the best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Because when these kids get into the streets, Alex, with no father, they're thin-skinned, they're angry, they resent adults, they have no idea on how to resolve disputes in an intelligent way without profanity and without violence. That's one of the many things you see when you have an adult relationship in your house with your mother and your father. You're watching adults resolve disputes. You're watching a guy get up and go to work when he doesn't feel like it. That's what you don't see. Hard work wins. And we're discouraging that with our welfare state and by incentivizing people into making bad moral decisions.
Now, it was, who was the football coach that said, winners never quit and quitters never win?
Sounds like something Lombardi would say.
That's who said it, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so true, though. I mean, I go down to demonstrations and things, and we'll have communists and socialists down there, and I'll walk up, and they'll go, oh, look, it's a capitalist. And I look at them, and I'm like, look, I mean, you really think communism is better than what free market and freedom creates? I said, look at what communism does. They just laugh. I mean, they really think that when they collapse America into communism, they're going to have some great time. I mean, they're just idiots. They're just idiots. They're just morons. They have no idea what they're doing.
Well, you know, in 1900, at all three levels, Alex, government took about 7% of the nation's income. Right now, when you put a monetary value on so-called unfunded mandates, we're talking about federal, state, and local taking over 40% of the people's income. One of the reasons America has been so great is that we trusted our people with our own money and with our own time. We no longer do that. We've got a president who's now added a fourth leg to our welfare state. We've got Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and now Obamacare. Until and unless we reverse that, we're going to still underproduce. 2% sucks as GDP. We should be rocket and rolling at 4% and 5%. We should be creating 300,000 and 400,000 and 500,000 jobs per month the way we did at this juncture during the Ronald Reagan recovery. This is the worst recovery since the Great Depression. It's because of these policies.
Well, it's not a recovery. I mean, that's even a hoax.
Well, even, yeah, you're right. That last quarter we had negative growth, although they had revised it upwards a little bit. This is just awful. And you look at the percentage of people, able-bodied people, who've just given up. The labor force participation rate is what we ought to be looking at.
Well, I think I know a lot of hardworking people that are giving up because they're sick of watching lazy people sit around and live off them. But then that's what happens in any socialist society. Finally, the people working three jobs give up, and man, then things really get bad.
Well, that's what Mitt Romney was talking about with the 47%. People weren't listening. Once you get to a point where over 50% of the voters are not paying federal income taxes, they can march in there and pull the lever for a raise on somebody else's dime. We are in deep, deep...
Well, yeah, they spun it that he didn't care about the other percent. No, he was saying, they're not listening to me. They're on the government payroll. They don't care. They don't care.
Well, you mentioned how they spin it, and that really is a deeper problem. When everybody talks to me about the postmortem, what Mitt Romney could have done, and could have done this, could have done that, there's plenty of things he could have done and could have said that might have made him win. But you have to go to the main, what I call the mainstream media, Alex. All these people, ABC, NBC, CBS, I call it MSNB, Hee-Haw, virtually every...
They all distort everything. Stay there. Wow, this is amazing. Larry Elder is a really interesting person. We got to have him on for a full hour soon. We'll come right back with a conclusion with Larry Elder straight ahead. His website, LarryElder.com.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, John Rappaport is a graduate of Amherst College with a BA in philosophy and has worked on a freelance investigative reporter for 30 years. And again, he's worked for some of the largest publications in the country and done investigative reporting, the Los Angeles Times, you name it. And, of course, he's also done investigations for international and national television programs. NoMoreFakeNews.com is his website, and he is a frequent guest to this broadcast. But I saw the Denver Post and others last week engaged in unbelievable, off-the-chart, gigantic mind control operations where they just calmly, and I'll pull up the headlines for you in a moment, where they, if you're a TV viewer, I'll give the headlines out to radio listeners so you can search it yourself. Oh, judge to order Holmes to take truth serum during trial. And they just report it like, oh, that's a good thing. Thank God they're doing that. Folks, that group, that family of drugs is what they use to put you into mind control. I mean, that's even in movies like Conspiracy Theory, you know, about mind control with Mel Gibson. I mean, even in Hollywood movies, people know that. Sirhan Sirhan was put on amnesiac drugs. That later came out. Even the LAPD said that and said he didn't shoot him. There have been court cases now proving there was CIA there when RFK got shot. So this is so crazy that you've got him getting $30,000+, like $27,000 in one check and $7,000, $8,000 in another, over $30,000 in DARPA, Department of Defense Advanced Research Laboratories, funding to him in a secret brain program that he'd been in since high school. I mean, he was brought in from high school into college programs. Only the smartest do they do that with in the testing. And then here he is, been in college for years. Everything's paid for with this grant. And he's got an Air Force psychologist, psychiatrist, top level over him. And then they report multiple smoke bombs and multiple shooters. He tells people in the jail, I was drugged. I was under mind control. That came out in the local news. And then they said, oh, no, he wasn't around any prisoners, even though for weeks they'd reported the first few days he was with those prisoners next door to him. And now he was hissing and screaming and yelling. Now he's off the drugs. Says he doesn't remember anything. They're keeping him very sequestered, and now they want to drug him again to go back to being the personality he was, the personality that thinks he did the shooting or may have done the shooting or taken part in it. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, they could take even a strong-willed person like myself. They could take you, and they can, with shock therapy, LSD, PCP, peyote, halcyon, other amnesiacs, sodium pentothal, they can make you chop your newborn baby up. They can make you think you're another person. They can make you, if you have the skills, be an opera singer. I mean, they can program you. And again, it's in the MK Ultra, MK Naomi congressional hearings of the 70s. This has all come out. Okay. And I'm ranting. We're going to go to John Rappaport, who's an expert on this, and he's written the article, The CIA, James Holmes, MK Ultra, and Truth Serum Torture. But here's the psyop on everybody. They're reporting they're going to drug him with mind control drugs, three of them. We're going to list them here, in public. So this is the new thing. They're going to not just drug you till you say you did something in the jail without charging you, as they've done in cases. Some people in federal prison for 10 years before trial, drugging them, saying they're mentally ill, getting him ready for trial. In the case of Dr. Sell, a dentist who they said did Medicare fraud, he fought it, so they just grabbed him and drugged him in Kansas City. So imagine this. There's so many cases of this now where they're grabbing lawyers that sue Williamson County north of Austin, and so they go arrest the lawyer and commit him for 2 years. I mean, this is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. And now they're out in the open going, yeah, we're now going to drug Americans for trial with mind control drugs. This is now Gitmo going mainstream. Now, I'm ranting. I want to go directly to John Rappaport, but it's just like they hide Obama being the head of Al-Qaeda publicly and commanding Al-Qaeda. And so we've put the headline out, Obama now global head of Al-Qaeda. That sounds crazy because it is absurdist. You've got to counter absurdist garbage by stating how absurdist it is, not processing it and watering it down. Now, John, I'm ranting here, but what is your take on this being out in the open? What does this signify? Are they all going to start publicly drugging us for trial so we say we did bad things?
Yeah, this is MKUltra going mainstream, Alex. This is exactly that. This is the old CIA program and the new CIA program. This is, we're going to drug you till you say what we want you to say. And what most people don't realize about MKUltra was it started out, one big part of it, as we're going to find a truth drug. You know, this was back in the early 50s. They couldn't find one. In other words, these drugs don't work to make you tell the truth. What they do is they destroy your mind, or they terrify you to the point where you will say what they want you to say. That's the big difference. And when they hit on LSD as the drug of choice, that's why they used it. It wasn't a truth drug. It didn't make people tell the truth. You don't download the truth out of somebody's mind with one of these drugs. What you do is you either destroy their mind altogether, make them into a complete babbling idiot, or you bring them to the point where they're so terrified because of the dosage levels, you say to them, okay, you get the point now? Do you want to have this again? Or are you going to tell what we want you to tell? And this is, of course, all science. This is all neurology. This is all psychiatry. This is all the very best of the legal system. This is the brutal, incredibly torturous. This is torture. This is what MKUltra was. And now they're just mainstreaming it right out in the open. Here's what's going to happen to James Holmes. And we're going to call it a narco-analytic review. So it all sounds very fancy and so forth. And I'll tell you one other thing, Alex. The hacks who are the psychiatrists at the Colorado State Mental System hospitals, they don't know anything about this. I mean, they're not the pros or the experts. They're going to have to bring in pros from the agencies that really know how to work these
drugs. Oh, no, they're going to probably bring in his very handlers that ran the operation.
Exactly. And CIA people will be there. The people who have worked on this before. It'll all
saying I bet it's going to be, that'll be the prime suspect. I bet, look for who actually programmed him to be who the expert they send. Because listen, McVeigh had Jolyon West, number two under MKUltra, congressional hearings, admittedly one of the fathers of modern mind control, assigned to him for the decade before they executed him weekly. From the time he was arrested to executed, Jolyon West was there.
Exactly.
And then as soon as McVeigh would get off the drugs, he'd tell people, no, I'm special forces, they set me up. And that's exactly what sworn affidavits from three different people say.
Well, this is the same kind of thing. You bring in the handler, you bring in the person who is controlling, just like in the CIA, you know, I'm your case officer, so you report back to me. So they're going to puff this guy up to the point where he's going to come back into court. He's going to make some kind of bland statement like, yeah, I know I did it. Yes, that's true. I still have problems. And then they'll just warehouse this guy for the rest of his life and destroy his mind, whether it's in prison or in a psych ward. It doesn't really matter.
That's right.
That's what's going to happen.
This is unprecedented, though. But the story, this is the cherry on top, where they lied and said he was never around other inmates when the inmates said, multiple ones, yeah, he said he was under mind control. That came out in the Denver papers. They went, oh, no, he was never around people, even though they'd all admitted he had been. The fact that they're covering up the notebook, the fact that he's got this high-level, top Air Force psychiatrist over him, he's in a DARPA program. I mean, how transparent does this have to be? And now they're going to drug him with a mind, they're talking about several mind control drugs to make him tell the truth. I mean, this is like total mainlining of this.
Absolutely. And of course, when he was arrested, you know, first you had the story that he was there at the exit of the theater the night of the shooting, and he just said, I did it, or something like that. And by the way, I've wired my entire apartment with explosives, so don't go near it. That was the first incredible, bizarre story.
And that was so they could send in a special federal team to cover up the seven medications that later still leaked. See, they don't have everybody under their control, but you see all the signs of the classic cover-up right there. There's no doubt in my mind now that Aurora was 100% staged.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, one reason I know that it's government psyops that is always running around saying I work for the CIA and all this stuff is because whenever I admit that I've had quite a bit of family that was in the CIA, they never attack that or go ferret into that because that's operations. You know, that's connected to their system. They don't want that looked at. That's why they make up outlandish stuff about me because they don't want you to believe there could be a real person standing up for liberty. The info I'm giving you, I don't want you to trust me. I want you to go look into it. I want you to go find out that when we talk about mind control, that it's a real thing. And that once you know what it is, you see it going on and you catch them red-handed. And I've told a few of the CIA stories, you know, just from, I mean, anybody I know in my family, they recruited heavily, you know, out of farming areas in Texas. And I've, you know, I talked to people or other family talks to people that were in the CIA. They were almost all Army officers. That's where they recruit from, who were combat veterans, who they then bring into it. And all of the people in my family got out of it. That's another lie that you don't get out of it. That's pure bull, ladies and gentlemen. And the point is, they won't ever even really talk much about it. Just, it's unspeakably horrible. They run everything. The murder, the drugs, all of it. One great uncle, it was basically, told my dad about it, and then I asked about it a little bit. He said, I'm not getting into that, but yeah. What was like, okay, you're an Army officer. We're sheep dipping you. He'd been in the Army for like 15 years, all over the world. And he said, we're now going to have you, this is your graduation, not as just an asset, but as a, you know, officer. As this full-blown CIA agent, and it was dealing drugs and reportedly killing people in Chicago. And he said, I'm not doing that, and got out of it. And I mean, that, but listen, it's the same story with, like, anybody that I talk to. And folks, because it's not like it's a big deal that, oh, they really wanted to recruit, you know, out of some of Alex Jones's relatives. There's CIA everywhere. Like Jesse Ventura goes down on the first day at work, they go, somebody wants to talk to you in the bottom of the Capitol. He goes down there, there's 26, whatever it was, CIA people. They were like little old ladies and guys that looked like milkmen or, you know, beer men or whatever. And they were CIA and wouldn't even say who they were, but it was national security. It's giant, ladies and gentlemen. And there's like 15, 16 agencies and private merc groups. And it's so evil. It is a mafia with mind control. And again, it works for the foreign banks. And there's all these movies about the CIA loves you and the red flag, you know, red, white, and blue, and oh my gosh. And they do have the light side that does the analyst stuff and that they send in. They send in the good guys are all like a joke. They send them out on commando missions to be killed. You know, I mean, and again, they laugh at them. And I've talked to Joel Skousen, who's, you know, had those connections in family and stuff. Same story, same deal. Ladies and gentlemen, they get the most gung-ho, meanest people they can. And then they see, are you evil, tough guy, or are you a nice, tough guy? And the nice, tough guys are cannon fodder. So I'm going to warn everybody. If you're a police officer and they want you to work for the feds and do bombing drills, they're going to blow something up. Maybe not your time, but down the road, they're going to blow something up. Say a cop did it to say the cops are terrorists when the feds want to have a purge of you. When they want to, if you're military, they want you to join an intelligence agency and infiltrate criminal groups. They're going to burn you down the road and say, you do what we say and help load up these toddlers on a C-130 10 years after you're into it, or we're going to expose all your bank robberies and all your drug dealing. I mean, that's all this is about compromising everybody, okay? That's all this is. And they're going to destroy our culture because they're into it. Now, I'm ranting in this segment, the next, John Rappaport, break down mind control. As you were getting into Jolly and West, his controller, Dr. Ewing Cameron, what is admitted for people that don't know? So why we know James Holmes is under mind control. Go ahead.
Ewing Cameron, as I was starting to say before we went to the break, not only were they pulling people off the street, but people were coming to him as patients. You know, somebody walks into his office. Here's a famous psychiatrist up in Canada. I'm not feeling very well, and I think I need some. Oh, sure, whatever. And all of a sudden, that person, you know, from anywhere, could be you, could be your cousin, could be anybody, is now in a program where they're being put to sleep for 30 days with heavy, heavy drugs, wakened in the middle of the night for electroshock treatments, 20 to 40 times higher than the usual torture of shock treatments. Then they're going to be listening to Ewing Cameron with these tapes saying over and over again how he's creating a new personality.
Headphones.
And then they spit that out the other side. New person. Yeah, new person. Totally destroyed. Totally destroyed. And of course, you can read about this because there were lawsuits eventually brought, and it was proven that Cameron was working on a contract via the CIA, and they had to pay out some pittance of money to these people. But this was just one little pocket of what MKUltra was all about, destroying people totally to give them new synthetic personalities.
And again, they even have History Channel shows admitting it all. And of course, it was also because they like to abuse kids. That's really the cover, is the mind control and erasing their memories. But expanding on that, you describe how, yeah, not just kids off the street, wealthy people would bring in their daughter who was depressed at age 10, you know, because they describe all the cases, thousands and thousands, something like 10,000 plus kids they know about. And they'd say, oh, just commit her here. I'll make her perfect in a year. And they'd go, here, take our daughter, you know, worshiping the psychiatrist because he's God. And they would literally electroshock, drug him, you know, rape him, everything else. And, oh, that couldn't be true. The doctor wouldn't do something like that.
And let me tie that in, Alex, with what happens in ordinary psychiatry. See, because people have this false firewall that they build between MKUltra and the CIA and psychiatry. Just forget about that. Erase that wall. You're in a university. You're a student. You're feeling a little bit jittery, anxious about exams, whatever. You go in to see the psychologist. You get referred. And you're sitting in a psychiatrist's office. And then they give you a prescription for a drug. And this is based on a story by Peter Bregan in his famous book, Toxic Psychiatry. This was a girl that he calls Roberta. And, you know, she has some anxiety about dating. And so ends up this drug. Well, we don't think that's the one. We'll give you this drug. No. And finally, they're putting her on serious, heavy antipsychotic drugs. And she gets to the point where she can no longer talk, function. This is a bright girl from a decent home, went to college. Hey, the American way. She's mumbling. She can't move without tremoring. She's knocking her head against the wall all the time. And eventually she comes to a general practitioner who says, this is all from the drugs. They've destroyed her life. She's never going to be the same. And nobody's prosecuted. Nobody's criticized. Oh, it's a psychiatrist who did this. This could happen to any student on any campus at any university.
And let me tell you who it happened to in the early 1960s. It was a man named Ted Kaczynski. You may have heard of him, the Unabomber. And I believe they had him to cut out the whole time to put out that eugenics-based report he put out as a publicity stunt. But he, in the L.A. Times, Alexander Cochran was the one who exposed it in the L.A. Times, God rest his soul, recently passed. I believe I read that. I mean, double-check that. My memory fails. The point is, he wrote about, it was declassified, Theodore Kaczynski was in the MKUltra mind control program. He went in to a psychologist, psychiatrist, and they drugged him. He disappeared into the program for years, comes out, but the media says there's no connection to his Unabombing. There, you don't just have MKUltra shooters, you've got MKUltra bombers.
That's right. People disappear, they come back. Oh, yes, I was in this program. Yes, I went to see a psychiatrist. This is what happened, and so on and so forth. And the public doesn't want to believe this, you see. But this is what you have to look at and understand.
And by the way, here's the headline. We're reaping tragic legacy from drugs. The government LSD experiments to overuse of drugs like Ritalin, the consequences are overwhelming. And is that the one that's got the, yeah, there it is. Theodore Kaczynski was in a CIA Harvard MKUltra mind control experiments, L.A. Times. What I was saying double check is I think Alexander Cochran passed recently. I think I know he did, but I want to double check that. Go ahead there, John.
Yeah. So you've got this kind of a program that spreads out tentacles all over the country. And as I was saying, in 1995, all of a sudden, you had two women testifying before the President's Committee on Radiation Experiments saying, yeah, but that was just a small part of what we were into since the time we were children. We were basically tortured by Army doctors, CIA doctors in a mind control program that radiation was just a small part of. And the idea was they wanted to make us into sex agents and assassins. And this is taking place in a committee room in Washington, D.C., before a panel and an audience in the room, and they get through testifying, and the panel is absolutely silent. And then one person says, well, thank you very much. Next witness will please come up, as if nothing ever happened. And as these two witnesses walk back from testifying, people in the audience get up and go over to them and say, thank God you said something, because I was here to talk about radiation too, but the same thing happened to me that happened to you.